Cleaning Nation. It is time to have some fun, to soak up some wisdom, and to find everything that you need to grow your cleaning company. Before we do, I just want to shout out a big fat thank you. We have been growing. We have been getting listeners. We have been getting huge all over the world, and it is 100% because of you, Cleaning Nation, sharing love, telling the world, telling your friends how much you like the show. If you're getting massive value, keep up the good work. Share us on Twitter, Facebook, subscribe both on iTunes and YouTube. We love having you as a member of Cleaning Nation. That said, today we are chatting with Patricia Thrasher from Cleaning Made Easy. Cleaning Made Easy serves the Oakland, Maryland area with commercial and residential cleaning services. If you want to reach out to Patricia and her team, you can hold them at www.officecleaningoakland.com. Patricia, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So glad to have you. So Cleaning Nation knows, the way that Patricia and I got connected is she is in our Facebook group, which is private and exclusive to owners of cleaning companies, but there's no charge to be in it. I think right now we've got 1,500 members. And she had a post of just, sounds like she had been getting or is getting put through the ringer with her business and just having a hard time. And I think myself or my producer, Natalie, reached out and said, how can we help? And here she is as a guest on the show. Is that, that's my recollection of stuff happened. How did it go on your end, sister?
That sounds about right. Just having issues keeping employees and running my business smoothly. I'm feeling a little burnout.
So as of now, how long have you been in business?
I've been in business since April of 2007.
Okay. And we're recording this April 2017. So you just about to have your 10-year anniversary, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Well, first of all, congratulations on that. How many employees do you currently have?
Three.
Okay. Plus yourself?
Yes.
All right. Any fun, exciting things we should know about you and or your company before we jump into coaching on how to keep these employees?
I mean, I'm from West Virginia. I was raised in West Virginia. I went to West Virginia University and got my business degree in 2010. I started my business in 2007 and raised my kids, and I have two kids, a boy and a girl, and just living the dream.
Well, hey, congratulations. What do the kids think of the business? They think it's cool that you own your own business? Do they think it's embarrassing that mom has a cleaning business? What's their take on this whole situation?
My daughter's a little aggravated that my money fluctuates. One minute I can, you know, get her what she needs, and the next minute I tell her she has to wait a minute. But other than that, she seems to like it, and my son doesn't really say much about it.
All right. Interesting. I will take it. And that's definitely one of the things that we can help you with is getting rid of some of those money fluctuations. Don't tell your daughter, because she still shouldn't have everything she wants every second she wants it. But
exactly. Amen.
Yeah, just between you and I, we can get that sorted out. We don't have to let her listen to this podcast particularly.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. Well, first of all, no question. Certainly, if you'd like to grow beyond two or three employees, you're going to have not just you, but Cleaning Nation. The two things that you're going to have to make this work is the ability to consistently attract and retain customers, and the ability to attract and retain systematically, repeatedly, scalably, dependably, employees. So let's talk about that. And we've obviously covered this from one direction or another in other shows, but it is literally, you'd solve 85% of all the problems you've got in the cleaning business if you just had those two systems in place, how to track and keep employees and how to track and keep customers. So it's a topic worthy of going back on. Any other specific questions or comments you have before I dive in?
No.
Okay. So first of all, there's really three parts to this process. There's the attraction process, there's the hiring process, and the onboarding process. And if you get any one of them wrong, it can kink up the whole system. So right off the bat, do you have enough qualified employees coming or applicants coming in? Do you think where do you think of those three pieces, the getting enough qualified applicants to show up, getting the hiring process, knowing which ones to invite to work with you and which ones to reject, and then once you've invited them, getting them onboarded and part of your team, which of those do you think you've got the most problem with currently?
Getting on board and staying with me.
Okay.
Staying with me. I can do the hiring, but just getting them to stay with me.
Okay, so I'm going to put words in your mouth so you can say, yep, you're understanding 100%, Mike, or no, dummy, pay attention. That's not what I said at all. What I hear you saying is you can get them to show up and say, I want to work. You do a pretty good job of being able to say you're going to be a good fit and you are not, or maybe not, because the problem comes in. Not, so you don't have a problem getting people to the show up to apply. You don't have people problems getting people to start. You have problems with people quitting a week, a day, 3 weeks after they start. Yes. Is that fair?
Yes, correct.
Okay, so I'm going to hit really quickly on the first two because they all tie in, and then we'll spend most of their time on the third piece. So we've talked about this before, and we can't dive into it now, but if you haven't listened, I'll try and put a link at the show notes page about a show that goes over core values. It's really important that you're clear on what your core values are and that your attraction process for attracting employees and your hiring process is very core value-centric. You're clear on this is what we believe, this is what's important. We want loyalty, we want honesty, we want hard work, we want people that are going to do what they say they're going to do, not quit, whatever your core values are, that you're really loud and proud about advertising those in all of your hiring advertisements and in the hiring process. So by the time they get on board with you, you've got the right person. Because everything I'm going to tell you is going to work marginally well if you've got a poor core value fit. If it's the wrong person, if you've got the wrong butt in the seat, I can't help you so much. So we have to assume that you've got the right butt in the seat. We're just not able to keep them along. Does that all make sense, or am I talking too fast?
No, that makes sense.
Okay. So assuming we've got the right butt in the seat, let's talk about that onboarding process. Are they usually quitting the first day, the first week, the first month, the first quarter?
Usually within the first 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay, 2 to 3 weeks. So it's not like they don't show up day one or they quit, you know, day three. Usually it's somewhere between weeks 2 and 3. They've worked a little bit and they go, enough of this, I don't like it.
Yeah.
Okay. So what that indicates to me is what they thought they were going to get, what they're getting, don't match up. And it takes a week or two for them to find out, I don't like this. Because if it's just hard work or cleaning, usually they'll quit after the first day or two. They'll go, it's just too much work, I don't want to do it. But if they're sticking for a week or two, it's not the cleaning technically, it's they may not, what the reality of their situation is not the reality they envisioned when they accepted the job. What kind of reasons are you getting for quitting?
I usually don't get any. They just don't show back up.
Okay. So, which is fine.
They say they're coming. I tell them, you know, we meet every morning at the same time and I go to pick them up and they won't be there.
Okay, so go to pick them up. Tell me about that. You have to pick up your employees?
Yeah, I pick them up. We meet in town at the town parking lot so that they can park their cars and they get in with me and we go to the job.
Okay, so what kind of jobs are you talking about? Residential, commercial, what sort of job?
Both. We do residential and commercial.
Okay, so I don't feel so good about picking up your employees. They should be independently going to jobs on their own. Is that not the case?
A lot of people around here don't have vehicles.
Okay. There's
so they'll be getting dropped off, you know, by a friend or a family member if they don't have vehicles.
So there's a really good indicator. If I'm starting to see a clear picture. If they don't have the emotional, mental wherewithal to handle things like making car payments or putting oil in their car or gas or keeping insurance or not drinking and driving or all the things that would, or having a job long enough to have enough money to buy a car, there's that one kind of fact or bit of information that they don't have a car is a problem. I would never hire somebody that can't get themselves to the job. If before you even hire them, they say, I need a parent effectively to pick me up and take me to my job because I cannot be trusted to get there on my own. That's probably a bad fit right off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, I that makes perfectly good sense, but it's kind of who I have to choose from.
Well, again, that's a great point. Mm-hmm. As soon as you believe I can only get losers to apply, then you're stuck. If that's a reality for you, nothing I can do to help you. I can tell you, for what it's worth, I coach people in very wealthy areas, very poor areas, very big towns, very small towns, and they all effectively get good people to work for them. So what I will accept is what I've been doing now has only attracted bad employees that can't do adult things like have a car, have a driver's license, have insurance.
I need to learn to fix that.
Okay, so and step one is believe. You got to eradicate that. That's all. There's only losers around. If that's what you believe, literally nothing I can do to help you.
It's not what I believe.
Okay. And I would totally give you a thumbs up or belief that, yeah, what you've been doing has only attracted losers. That may be the case, but then the solution is, do something different. If the reality is there's nothing but losers around, your only solution is to move. Like, why would you want to live a bunch? No one has a license. Everybody walks everywhere. Everyone's on the bus. Like, there are people driving by every day, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bus transportation doesn't exist in my county.
So then it would be even more motivation to get a freaking car. Yeah. So if they don't have a car, that's a good indicator. I am not qualified probably to be out of the house without adult supervision. I'm certainly not qualified to work for you. Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
All right. So we're asking.
I see the issue.
Yeah. So the fact. Yeah. So right off the bat, we got to tell people minimum standards of performance. And I'm going to give you a bunch of them. I'm not saying you need to adopt any or all of these, but just an idea. You got to speak English, right? And some places are like, no, I don't need that. But most places you need to speak English. Maybe you need to be legal to work here. You need to have some sort of a documentation that you're legally able to work. You need to not be a felon or a violent felon or have stolen. You need to have a driver's license. You need to have an operational car, reliable transportation to get to and from work every time without me picking you up. Those are good starts. If you're not willing to set those standards, you're absolutely right. You're going to be stuck with Yahoos who will just ruin your life. Yeah. I'd quit the business and just
use
go get a job
abuse.
At that point.
Use and abuse. Yeah, that's how I feel.
Your last name's abuse. Thrasher, for crying out loud. There's no using and abusing Patricia Thrasher. How dare you? You're in charge.
Amen. Amen. Right.
So let's start looking at a couple different demographics. It sounds like you're looking at poor people that are looking to you to pick them up, drop them off, pay them, apparently go to their house, put them to bed, you know, treat them like a mother, and that's not what you need.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So let's start looking at different demographics.
Okay.
I would look for, are these usually female or male?
I have both.
Okay. And are the males the head of the household or are they single?
Head of the household.
Okay, so you've got adult males that have wives and or children and who depend on them to feed them and pay their rent, and they can't get a car.
No, I'm sorry. I was talking about my current employees that have been with me.
Okay. So
it's been single people.
There's, again, I hate to discriminate, and hopefully I won't say anything illegal here, and I am not a lawyer. I'm not an employment law specialist. Yeah. I'm a business guy, so obviously follow the laws in your state. I'm just giving you general business advice, not, employee law advice. That said, my preference has been, my experience has been, that people that have something to work for generally do a better job. So if I'm working for beer money, if I'm a college student or an adult who's on welfare and kind of has my bills or lives with my parents, and I'm just looking for beer money or walking around money, I am not going to do, I'm not in charge of my life. I'm not ready for a job yet. The flip side is if I am a single mom who's like, I got two kids, and if I don't make money, these two kids ain't going to eat. Generally, that woman is going to be motivated to do things like have insurance, treat the job with respect. Same with a father who's like, I got a wife and kids that I got to feed. And if I don't make this happen, it's not going to happen. So first and foremost, I look for people that need the money, not for people that are on welfare or live with their parents, or for whatever reason, they don't need the money. If you fire them or they don't show up, nothing really happens in their life, but a lot of bad things happen in your life. Is that a fair start?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, so start there. Second thing is you could also look for people that don't need the money but need community. In lots of these communities, more so on the residential side than the commercial, you can find women who are maybe stay-at-home moms, and maybe they could use some money for sure, but a lot of it is they just would like a community, some other women to talk to, or you know, just have some adult conversations sometimes, but they're still responsible. Again, they've got kids that depend on them, and they have a job, they have a car. So first and foremost, I would start setting some better minimum standards in terms of, you have to have a car. You have to have insurance. You can't be a felon. No drugs. You got to be willing to take and pass a drug test. Start there. Second, add looking for people that actually need a job as opposed to people who don't. And again, you can also find people, you know, on their job history. Like, well, I was here for 3 weeks and I worked at the Pizza Hut for a month and a half, which is a long time. But my boss there was crazy, so I punched him in the face and left. And now that guy's no good. I'll take a woman who's like, man, I had my babies 4 years ago and I haven't had a job since. I'll take her every time over, I've had 17 terrible minimum wage jobs in the last 16 months. You know, why don't you take a swing on me? That's a problem. Okay. Thoughts, input, questions, concerns, anything I've said so far?
No, makes all perfectly good sense.
Okay, so we could dive deeper, but until we get that fixed, I don't know that anything else I'm going to say to you is going to help. So start with minimum standards of performance. They got to have their own car. Immediately eradicate, even with the employees you got, this I pick you up. No, this is the address. Get there. Have your supplies. Ideally have some sort of a software where you can call in and call out so you can, you know, see them checking in, checking out of the places. And that's it. This whole babysitting with they come to meet me at some park and that should stop tomorrow. And if they can't, if you're like, well, I can't do that. I can't. Well, then you're not. Sorry, you got to go. I can't have people that can't even arrive at a job site. Like that's insanity. So I'd start there, make some better standards. All the standards I kind of mentioned make sense in terms of speaking English, have a job history where they're not jumping around, ability to drive, have legal insurance. Obviously no criminal history, no current drug use. Does all that seem kind of sensible and doable?
Yes, it does.
Okay. I think that'll get 80% of your, and again, the first and foremost is that belief of there are good people out there that want to work. If you, I don't know that there's any communities where there's literally nobody. And if you've got three people, I get it. If you're Intel and you're like, hey, we need 1500 white collar, $80,000 a year people, this town won't support that. Sure. Okay. Intel, I'll give you that. But when you're Patricia Thrasher and you're like, I've got three employees, my town of 26,000 people doesn't have three people that are decent. I'm going to call bullcrap on that one. Is that fair? Can I push back on that a little? Yeah. How big is your town, by the way?
Probably about 10,000.
Okay. So you need, and say you want to grow to, you know, a lot bigger and you need 30 employees. Okay. You need a 10th of a third of a half of a 9th of a percent of people that are willing to work. You can absolutely build that. We just got to stop tolerating the Yahoos. Any questions before we hit the lightning round?
No, sounds good.
All right. Let's transition. Yeah, no, glad I could help. Let's move on. You've been doing this for 10 years. I'm going to give you the opportunity to share some of your experience with Cleaning Nation. Three quick questions. You're going to give three amazing answers. Question number one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
That I am here to make money and not friends.
Ooh. That's harsh, but true. Couldn't agree more. What's the biggest mistake other than telling your employees you would pick them up and drive them to the job? Other than that, what's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business so far? So maybe we can learn from you.
Trusting my sister, my best friend, thinking that she's doing what she should be doing and me not following up on it.
Yeah, and I got to imagine that's painful emotionally. Like if you think, oh, it's my sister, I can trust her. And then you find out she's taking advantage, that probably hurt your feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a sister, but I think it would hurt a lot more. I've been hurt by employees who I cared and loved about and thought cared about me and loved me too. And I found out that they were taking advantage. So if I had a family member do it, I could see that being really painful. All right, last question. Yeah. What's one idea that Cleaning Nation can put into practice right away? Something really easy to implement that they can put into practice today?
Always go above and beyond your customers' expectations, like doing something extra. The other day, I cleaned out a client's oven free of charge. I saw it was dirty, so I wiped it out. I think that's the best customer service you can give anybody, is to do something extra for nothing.
Yeah, and you know what?
And it's also the best feeling when they notice and appreciate it.
You literally said exactly what I was going to say. Not only is it great for business, it's great for the soul and feeling good about what you do. Couldn't agree more. Patricia, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion, your desire to grow. I appreciate you. I know the Cleaning Nation appreciates you. Cleaning Nation, if you want to check out Patricia's show notes page and discover everything you need to grow your cleaning company, it's all at growmycleaningcompany.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations! You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies as well as industry experts can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.